And I do a lot of work with growers, and they try to have a lot of control over my research program. And that's as it should be. So every now and then something new comes on the market that promises to be a panacea, and they believe the initial hype, and they really want a panacea that's going to fix all their production problems. So when the DA meter came about, they were really excited that it was going to help them with their Honeycrisp problems, and they insisted that I do this research. And then I had to look forward to several years of very detailed research, only to come out at the other end and say, this is not the panacea you were hoping for, but maybe it can do some other things. So that's basically what I'm going to present today. So I have 3 years of data where I use the DA meter to look for correlations with other maturity indices and fruit quality and storage disorder. And I have 1 year of McIntosh. These are the two predominant cultivars in Maine. Go down. And thank you, Chris. So now I'm at the summary and conclusions. What happened? How do I get back? Fix this, please.
You're asking me to help you? So, you know
what
should
have. I did was, next I'm supposed to talk about maturity.
All right. Now come back over here.
Here we are.
And just focus on this button
That's
or that button.
That's not the enter button.
Well, no. Look, there you go. Look, I'm making
okay,
the enter
good,
button.
Good. All right. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
I apologize. He and I are old friends.
Oh, we're not.
But maybe it's coming to an end. So for McIntosh, the maturity indices are well established. For storage apples, you harvest them before the internal ethylene is above 1 part per million. And on using a starch index scale from 1 to 8, complete your harvest by the time it reaches 6. And I have found that maturity seems to be fairly even in this variety. So people don't have much of an issue with measuring maturity in McIntosh. But when it comes to Honeycrisp, we haven't found a good internal ethylene concentration that tells us when to stop harvesting. Starch index, usually in the range of 4 to 6, but it's highly variable from year to year and from orchard to orchard on a given day. Excuse me. And the time period when starch index is actually in the range of 4 to 6 can last a matter of days. But ground color is something we're starting to talk about. And in Honeycrisp, it can, because it's not a fully red color apple, it's fairly easy to see the ground color. And in unripe apples, dark green, it changes to a light green, and then you know when it's overripe for storage. So the in-between part would be the appropriate ground color, but there's a lot of there will probably be a lot of argument about what the perfect ground color is because most people cannot agree on things normally. So what we need is a precise measurement of this ground color, and that's where the DA meter would come in to measure the subtle differences in color change as Honeycrisp ripens. It's designed to measure absorbance of two wavelengths at 670 nanometers, which corresponds with peak absorbance of chlorophyll A, and 720, which I'm not sure what's being absorbed by that wavelength. But as chlorophyll A breaks down, the difference between the two actually becomes smaller and smaller until it reaches zero. I like this instrument because it's quick and easy to use, and I'm hoping that it does actually pan out to be useful for Honeycrisp. So what I did was in 2015, I harvested 4 bushels from 3 different orchards. I picked 4 bushels because I wanted a really good measure of the range and maturity at any given day, and I did this on 2 different days, peak harvest and then 1 week later. The following year, I picked 1 orchard and measured 3 different sections of that orchard picking two bushels from at least 10 different trees because of the large tree-to-tree variability with this cultivar. 2016, I was also working with Jennifer DL in Ontario and Cindy Tong in Minnesota, and we agreed on this particular protocol and did the same exact thing in the three different sites. We did this with Honeycrisp and Macintosh as well. In 2017, I went back to using the three different orchards because one of the questions I have is it going to be useful for different orchards within the same region? So on each day, I would pick the apples and take them to the lab and measure IAD on two sides of the apple and then segregate them into IAD groups. In 2015, it was 0.3 units of IAD, and then we narrowed it down to 0.2 units of IAD in the following years. And then we would store them according to these IAD groups and get an average for that grouping during the data analysis. In 2016 and 2017, we numbered each apple so we could follow it through to the post-harvest measurements and compare back to harvest. So I measured the standard things that you would at harvest and again after storage. And one of the questions I was interested in was the relationship between IAD and chilling injury in Honeycrisp. So we did not condition the apples, and we stored them at a colder than recommended temperature. And I don't have a lot of post-harvest quality measurements for Honeycrisp because apples in Maine are very prone to chilling injury, and in some years, almost 100% of the apples develop soft scald, which leaves me no fruit for quality measurements. I'm not going to present any of the data from Ontario and Minnesota because I don't have enough time. I'm going to focus on Maine. These are the harvest dates, roughly a week to 10 days apart. And when I picked the apples, it was randomly from each of the trees. I would pick about 5 to 10 apples from each tree and then move down the row. And I would pick from the inside, the outside, high above, and low down, and without any regard to size. I wanted a picture of what is occurring for the whole range of maturity at any given day. This graph shows the IAD at the different harvest dates in the 3 years. Can't figure out how to work this. Never mind. This graph just shows you that IAD decreases over time in Honeycrisp. Thank you. Okay. Decreases with time. With each harvest in each year, what you would hope for, that's something that measures maturity. But there was some overlap. It ranged from 0.8 to 1.23 for the first harvest, which to me is a wide variation in IAD at a given harvest date. And then the second harvest date, 0.6 to 0.8, which is some overlap with the first harvest. And the same thing happened with the third harvest. So this is the distribution of the relative number of fruit within each IAD category as a percentage of the number of fruit, and the IAD categories down here in 2016 and 2017 for each harvest date. Harvest 1 would be the black circles, harvest 2 the blue triangles, and harvest 3 the yellow squares. And yes, indeed, there was a decrease with sequential harvests in both years, but a lot of overlap and a lot of fruit at the tail end. So there's if IAD is actually measuring maturity, then it's telling us that there's a huge variation in maturity within a given date. Starch index also was somewhat correlated with IAD at the 3 years, the different harvest dates, and these would be the harvest 1, harvest 2, and harvest 3. So it looks like in Honeycrisp, starch index is breaking down rather rapidly and reaching the maximum level, breaking down more quickly than IAD is dropping. This is a breakdown of the starch index within a date for the different IAD categories. In 2015, there was a linear inverse relationship during harvest 2 before complete starch breakdown occurs. And then once starch breakdown occurs, there's no relationship to starch index. And this happened again with the first and second harvest in 2016. In 2017, where I have data from three different orchards, there wasn't a strong relationship within a harvest date to starch index because it was highly variable from orchard to orchard. This would be the starch index in one orchard, the starch index in another one, and then these three data points for the same orchard that I used in 2016. Overall, there was a curvy linear relationship where there is a relationship before complete starch breakdown begins. Soluble solids was related to IAD in 2015. As you would expect, less ripe apples have a lower starch as soluble solids. No relationship in 2016, but soluble solids has not been a reliable indicator of maturity. And again in 2017, not much of a relationship. But what I see in this data is the effect of biennial bearing from year to year on its effect on quality. In 2016, this was a year with a light crop load, and 2015 would be a heavy crop as well as 2017. The similar thing happened with flesh firmness. In years with a heavy crop load, firmness was lower than in 2016, and there's no relationship with IAD, since flesh firmness is not a good measure of maturity. Bitter pit was highly variable from year to year, none in 2015, a lot in 2016, a year with a severe drought, and these orchards were not irrigated because our water is rationed at Highmore Farm, and I saved the water for my rootstock trial. In 2017, there was less bitter pit. No relationship to IAD. But for soft scald, it was confusing and complicated. This shows the soft scald incidence versus IAD categories or groups. And in 2015, there was very little scald with the peak harvest time, which I consider to be the second harvest in the season. And no relationship to IAD. That would be these lines here. But by harvest 3, there was a significant relationship to IAD, but it would be the opposite of what I would expect if maturity is a strong factor in soft scald incidence. We have a decrease in soft scald incidence as IAD goes down. And this would be the fruit with the more advanced maturity. So then again, in 2016, it did not happen the way it did the year before. With the somewhat unripe fruit, there was an inverse relationship to IAD, which you would expect if maturity does have an impact. And then it switches during harvest 2 to be the opposite kind of relationship, a positive relationship. And then by harvest 3, almost every apple had soft scald. And I think it was because of the severe drought, but also because of very cold temperatures during harvest. It was so cold that in some cases we were seeing symptoms, soggy breakdown-like symptoms in fruit on the tree. In 2017, you see a lot of scattering of the data because it's the variability between the three orchards. But during harvest 1, there was that inverse linear relationship, the way it's supposed to be. And then during harvest 2, it was quadratic. So in the fruit with the higher IAD values, there was that inverse relationship. And then with the lower IAD values, it switches to be the positive slope. And then no relationship for harvest 3 because the data is distributed too widely from orchard to orchard. So to simplify that data, I've broken it into the three different orchards. During in orchard two, there was only a significant relationship during the third harvest, and it was that positive relationship again. And then during orchard 70, the quadratic relationship during harvest two, and the positive relationship during harvest three, and something similar during orchard seven. I don't know what's causing this orchard-to-orchard variability in their relationship to IAD, or even in their incidence of soft scald, but there are large differences in elevation in going from the highest orchard, orchard 2, down to the middle orchard, orchard 70, and finally orchard 7, which is a frost pocket, actually. There's also soil type differences. Orchard 70 has good soil moisture and good soil fertility. So these might be some things I would examine in the future. Soggy breakdown was somewhat similar to soft scald, another chilling injury, but the relationship to IAD wasn't as apparent with this disorder. Diffuse flesh browning occurred in 2 years of the study, and there was something of a maturity effect where harvest three is when most of the diffuse flesh browning is occurring. And in this year, there was a significant relationship inverse to IAD if I eliminated this outlier data point, but not a significant relationship in 2017. So I think it's mostly an effect of maturity with this disorder. McIntosh, I'll quickly go over this. In 2016, there was something of a decrease in IAD with sequential harvest, but most of the apples fell within one or two IAD categories, which tells me that McIntosh ripens fairly evenly. There was no relationship to starch index or soluble solids, and there wasn't enough of a decrease, there weren't enough IAD groups to actually show a relationship to starch index, but starch index changed more consistently with harvest date than did IAD. And the numbers of IAD, the values of IAD were much higher in this variety. Same thing happened with firmness before, at harvest and after storage. Harvest date had more of an impact than IAD. So that brings us to the end. And overall, I thought that the IAD was it was okay for measuring maturity in Honeycrisp, but not McIntosh. And I don't think it can be used as a standalone tool for measuring maturity in Honeycrisp at this time. So that's all I have. Any?
Thank you for that.
They can, for McIntosh, almost nothing. And for Honeycrisp, quite a bit, because it's a bit more sensitive to sunburn, and you could actually pick out which apples had sunburn, even though you couldn't see symptoms of sunburn. Once I get around to the blush side, the numbers go down. So I tried to avoid that. I would measure many different points of the apple in the first year and figure out where is a good place. I'm not smart enough to change the attenuation of the DA meter. It's just not one. Yeah. You can't even. I like to interrupt you. I should learn to have better manners. But you know, I can't even get it to tell me the absorbance at 720 and 670, which would be more useful to me as a researcher. The F750. I don't know that much about the F750, but my colleague Cindy has been doing similar measurements with that instrument, and she can actually pick out absorbance at many different wavelengths and do derivatives.
All the spectrum.
It's the Felix, yes.
So you're confused that I'm a model. Any other questions?